Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Uncanny Treks, where we cover the Fantastic Four movie. It's Fantastic Four 2025. I'm not going to say the subtitle. The subtitle is terrible. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty well, Bob, man. You were not going to watch Fantastic Four. I've got, like, audio evidence that you were going to refuse to watch this movie. But your ass went and saw the film, Bob, and I'm glad you did, because it was a good film.
Yeah, I was wrong. It's fine. I enjoyed it. It looked pretty good. The trailers looked terrible visually. The movie didn't look terrible. I had a good time.
Well, with that being said, Bob, have you watched any of the other Fantastic Four movies that came out before this, such as the 1994 for the 2005 Fantastic Four, the 2015 Fantastic Four?
Yes, Matt. It only took them four tries to get it right. And also hilarious that there's very precisely basically 10-year intervals, 94 to 2005 to 2015 to 2025. No, I've never watched any of the other ones in full. I was in a comic store while Fantastic Four 2 Rise of the Silver Surfer from 2007 was playing. And so I saw a couple of the Silver Surfer scenes from that movie, but I did not shoot the movie.
So what's crazy, Bob, in my opinion, the one from 94 is better than the one that came out in 2015.
Have you always thought this, or is this your hot take after reading some Fantastic Four comics?
This is probably my hot take after reading Fantastic Four comics, which is something I have to keep in mind when I read reviews and crap online about Fantastic Four and them not understanding it. Because you've exposed me to so much cosmic radiation, I just can't not see the comics when I see the films now. I see what they were three in 94, and if they had had the budget and a more polished script and actually cared about the film to begin with, it could have been better. It would have fit in well with that other stuff they were producing, the Incredible Hulk, the Iron Man thing they had for a little while, the Daredevil, late 70s, early 80s TV shows. Don't quote me on that. Or hit Bob up on X. Oh, wait, Bob doesn't go on X. So I guess just don't hit us up, period.
You can't find us.
Send a snail mail.
We have an email address, but we never check it.
That's because it's the Babylon 5 email, I believe.
I have to check four or five email addresses already. I'm not checking another one. Yeah. Sorry, listeners. Matt, would you agree that this movie, Fantastic Four 2025, as opposed to 2015, 2005, or 1994, would you agree that Fantastic Four 2025 is roughly comparable to the Superman movie in terms of quality, theme, tone, use of the comics histories? I was shocked at how broadly similar these were.
Well, we're making this huge shift from where these films have been the last 10 years, where it's lighter, brighter, and there's just a message of hope to some degree. And I don't mean hope like Henry Cavill's That Man of Steel hope. But I think also a shift in setting away from the whole Earth 616 and everything that all the baggage that comes with that helped this film tremendously. Because if you're watching all the MCU crap, and you can watch Fantastic Four and not have to worry about any of it. You don't need to know anything going into it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the same way the Snyderverse being nixed, and now we have what James Gunn is doing. I just hope it stays this way and doesn't just become this convoluted mess.
Well, and listeners, we're obviously going to spoil this movie relentlessly starting right now. And that, to me, is one of the depressing things about this movie, is that it does really well. It establishes this different world from the MCU, where you could make a couple Fantastic Four sequels and they might be fun. I don't know if you would want to or need to do this, but you could, in theory, set another movie or two on this world and it would be cool. But instead of doing that, it's just, nope, all set up for a multiversal movie that I'm definitely just not going to see, Matt. You can't make me see Avengers Doomsday.
That's the thing, Bob, but I'm hoping that the Fantastic Four go back to their Earth and have adventures like you're saying that we can watch that don't involve all this multiversal hopping, dimension hopping.
Sure, they can go back. It will depend on how they execute this in Avengers Doomsday, but they're going to have used the Fantastic Four's signature opponent in the crossover movie. And so it's, oh yeah, you can go back and have your own little separate event. You've already used it.
That does suck, because most Fantastic Four we read, as far as the really good runs that you've had me read, they start off usually with no Dr. Doom, and then Dr. Doom shows up at some point, causes chaos. And I was really hoping that is what was going to happen in this film.
I don't know.
But we're not going to get that.
There's just no way that Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Dr. Doom at anything like Dr. Doom appears in the Mark Waid or the John. There's just no way.
Oh, no, there's no way.
It's just not possible. So, I don't know. On the one hand, it is interesting that this and Superman, to go back to the original point, so similar, like you say, hope focus, launching a new era. But in that way, even though I have some misgivings about where the James Gunn universe is going to, in that way, you have to say much more open, promising future for the DC universe, whereas Marvel does this and it's just immediately going to return back to more of the same, more of the MCU and Avengers doing multiversal crap, which I'm done with. I don't care.
Well, I'm going to watch it when it does come out, Bob, and I'm trying to keep my hopes up that they've learned their lesson, but I doubt they have. We'll see. Franklin, you know, he was advertised to be in the film ahead of time. You and I know who Franklin is, but a lot of people don't know his power set, what he is capable of. And I think that was one of the reasons when I mentioned him in previous podcasts, you were kind of thinking there's no way they're going to do Franklin, right?
Yeah, and I was obviously wrong about that too. And you were pretty irritated about them spoiling Franklin's role in the trailer, as I recall.
I really was, but it was fine once I saw the film because I didn't realize he was going to be born out in the cosmos in front of Galactus with Sue in so much stress, keeping the whole ship and everything together. That, to me, really changed it. The whole family aspect of Thing actually delivering the child, that was cool. There's just so much going on there. It's just a very amazing scene. Him being born in space changed everything and made that okay for them to give away because it got me more interested. I'm like, okay, how are they going to bring Franklin into this? So you literally now have Jesus as a character at this point.
It was handled pretty well here, but again, I'm not going to watch Avengers Doomsday. I'm not looking forward to how they're going to handle Franklin in that at all.
So were you okay with Galactus saying that he wanted to be freed by Franklin, basically for Franklin to take his place? Which is different from the comics because Franklin makes Galactus his herald.
In the comics, Galactus does sometimes talk about his role as a curse. I can't remember if they've done a full-on plot of him trying to pass the hunger onto someone else. But it's not, I would say it's not out of line with what I know about Galactus from the comics.
Okay.
And the herald is a future thing, right? It's not something that's happened in the present of comics. There's a lot to praise about this movie. I enjoyed this movie. First Steps is a terrible subtitle though, right? Just absolutely awful. And it made a little more sense when you realize that, oh, this was Franklin was so much the central MacGuffin of this movie that Galactus trying to get baby Franklin and the FF trying to protect him would make the whole movie go round. The title made a little more sense then, but even then it still doesn't make that much sense because it's not like Franklin takes his first steps. And even if he had taken his first steps in the movie, it would have been terrible. Why did they have to give it this god-awful subtitle?
Bob, they miss an incredible opportunity. Imagine Sue's laying there and Reed's pumping her hard, trying to get her back to life and everything. And Ben Grimm is holding Franklin, and Franklin decides he wants to get down, so they let him down. And he takes his first steps to Sue. And resurrects. Cinema, Bob! Cinema right there.
Well, Matt, maybe they'll do an animated what-if episode of that very just for you.
His first steps to save his mother.
Did you know that the director of this film directed 43 episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he directed all of WandaVision?
Yeah, and you hated WandaVision. I loved WandaVision.
I thought the camera work and some of the work with having the different sitcom eras on WandaVision was pretty good. I just thought the writing sucked. I just hated the plot. I thought it was too stretched out. So I did hate WandaVision, to be clear, but I'm not surprised that the director of that did a good job directing something else. And indeed, I do think there's a lot of visual similarity between this and WandaVision. Interesting way.
He also apparently directed two episodes of Game of Thrones Season 7.
Despite the big special effects of Galactus and space and all, did this film not feel really small to you? It really only has four characters.
That's what I liked about it. I only had to keep up with four characters. And Galactus,
he's the villain. Galactus and Silver Surfer, but they're ciphers, cosmic beings, and don't have a lot of flesh.
The other characters, you had Ben Grimm's love interest, who is not Alicia.
Played by Natasha Lyonne. And you said, I didn't put this together until you put it in the notes, but she's basically a tribute to Jack Kirby's wife, Roz.
Correct.
Which, now that you say that, I was, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I when watching it, I didn't pick up on that. It's dumb. But she's not a character. She's only in two or three scenes, three at most.
People are speculating that maybe she'll be Alicia in this MCU Earth. But I think that's a stupid idea.
Is people's theory that they're going to have a separate Fantastic Four that's on the MCU Earth? Is that people's theory?
No, people think that this Fantastic Four is coming to their Earth. There's no Fantastic Four in the MCU, but there may be another Natasha Leon who's actually Alicia Masters.
People think that it's going to destroy this Earth.
Yeah, that's the thought.
I don't know if that's what they're going to do or not. If they do it, that seems crazy. It totally invalidates this movie.
Yeah. I really want this Fantastic Four to stay on this Earth, that they're and not mingle with the MCU as much, other than in the crossover movies that they know they have to make.
It does get to that theory that people seem to want to believe that the Fantastic Four only work in the 60s, which the setting of this movie seems to reflect that theory. I don't believe that theory, but once you've gone to the trouble of setting up your 1960s Earth, why not just roll with it?
Right. And then one other thing too, Bob, with going back to Natasha Lyonne's character, if she were Alicia Masters, they've already encountered the Puppet Master at this point. So yeah, that whole plot's null and void.
That is weird. I also thought it was interesting. I'm not a huge Natasha Lyonne fan, but she is a good actress. And it is interesting that they would just use her just as Ben's crush, right?
Right.
No greater role for her. So I guess if what you're saying is right, that she might also play MC Alicia Masters. That's interesting.
But I just don't think that's going to be good. I think that's poor writing, honestly.
Well, one other like character complaint, Mark Gatiss is that the TV show host was terrible. I get why you need something like Mark Gatiss as the TV host to give you the frame device for the opening and the closing of the film. The scenes where he was talking were awful, really bad cinema.
It's just for the setting, to set that 60s aesthetic. He looks like Ed Sullivan. That's all it was.
Yeah, but just really, just wretched, wretched stuff. I'm not a big Mark Gatiss fan, and that cloying, sentimental.
When John decided to sacrifice himself, I was on the edge of my seat on that part. And I'm not going to lie, as an uncle, I did tear up a little at that, because he's very just, oh, he'll do anything for that kid, which brings back that family aspect to the Fantastic Four, which a lot of the films, they don't really explore much. And I did think they were going to try to do the whole Herald of Galactus thing, a la Mark Waid, where Johnny becomes a new Herald. Or we were going to get that trapped in the negative zone type idea from Hickman. But then Silver Surfer to the rescue. I did troll some guy that was asking stupid questions on Reddit about what happened to Johnny, and he didn't want spoilers or whatever. So I did tell him that Johnny becomes the new Herald of Galactus, and he was very mad at me till he saw the film and then went and wrote back and was like, you just made the film better because I was expecting that to happen, and it didn't. You're welcome, friend. You're welcome.
Matt's doing positive trolling.
Now you know how I felt when I was watching it, because I read the comic books and prepared myself for the potential of what could happen.
We did get a lot of other interesting villains, right? We got cameos or mentions, and spoilers in the end credit scene, we get the animation where we see some of these characters animated, but we see Red Ghost and his super apes, we see Puppet Master, we see Diablo, we see the Wingless Wizard, we see Mad Thinker, and we see Dragon Man.
Did you originally Red Ghost was going to make an appearance in the film? He was going to be played by John Malkovich, but that got cut.
I have to say, if it had been anything like Mark Gatiss's portrayal of the TV show host, I'm glad it got cut.
There's a lot of people already, oh, we want to see these scenes. No, you probably don't. I don't think they're going to be that great. I think they cut them for a reason.
I do like the Red Ghost and his super apes who have the power of the Fantastic Four quite a lot. They crack me up. But I don't necessarily need to see him on screen played by John Malkovich. I can have a full life without that, I think.
So of the characters you listed here, Bob, which would you most want to see in a Fantastic Four film?
The Wizard or the Mad Thinker, although that they already did this with all of them, suggests that they would never use
that. Is true. I still want to see Puppet Master at some point. I think they could do a lot with him just because it's fun.
I don't, as somebody who has read a lot of media comics,
I've always enjoyed that character.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never liked Puppet Master very much as a character, and I really don't want to see Puppet Master with Natasha Lyonne as his daughter. That's not something I'm interested in seeing. But you well might be onto something. Of those, actually, probably Puppet Master is more likely than the Wizard.
I doubt Dragon Man's going to make it to the screen, even though he was in the cartoon thing.
Actually, Dragon Man, I would think, would be likely, but not as an antagonist, but as a babysitter.
Oh, yeah, as a big purple dragon. I don't know how they would do it, though, if they would make him look more robotic on film. I just don't think he translates well from the comic to the film.
And they actually realize it, right? Did the film's central moral dilemma of should we sacrifice Franklin to save the world, did that feel a little contrived to you?
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Obviously, you try to find some other way, but if you can't find some other way, this one baby is not the world.
The trolley problem, Bob, but everyone's going to get run over.
Did you feel they were teasing that Reed might become the Maker, which is, for those who have not read these comics, in Ultimate Fantastic Four, eventually Ultimate Reed Richards becomes a supervillain, the Maker, right? So it felt at a couple points they were teasing this version of Reed becoming the Maker.
That's way down the road. I would hope they would go different directions. I would prefer seeing a council of Reeds before I see that.
Yeah. We already talked about Johnny gearing up to sacrifice himself around a portal, which, on the one hand, there's only so many ways superheroes can sacrifice themselves. That doesn't have to be a strong Hickman influence, but it did very much feel like the death of the Human Torch in the Hickman run. And then we also have this interesting thing where they use the Future Foundation, but in the comics, the Future Foundation is Reed's school for gifted kids, where in the movie, it's Sue's diplomatic initiative, which on the one hand is different than how Hickman created the Future Foundation, but on the other hand, it's interesting because it's still echoing what Hickman does with Sue as a diplomat and with the concern for all the sovereignties of these fictional places like Latveria and Subterranea and Atlantis, that sort of thing.
I'm glad they went ahead and used the Future Foundation name, because if they didn't, there would be some Disney Plus cartoon out there that would try to run with it, and I don't want to watch that.
Did you think this show was desperate to have an animated spinoff? What with all the mentions of these villains whose adventures we're never going to see on the cinema screen, and the 60s animation that we see a couple times?
Yeah, and the post-credits animation. I think they wanted to, but it's just not necessary. To me, it should just be a callback to the older Marvel shows. There's so many options for cartoons of Fantastic Four on Disney Plus. We don't really need more.
On the one hand, sure, I'm glad to not have anything more to watch. But on the other hand, compared to how bad the past couple of Disney Spider-Man cartoons, not Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which I liked, but compared to how bad the couple before that were, I don't know. You could do worse than like a Fantastic Four, especially since, unlike Avengers and Spider-Man, we're not exactly spoiled for choice among Fantastic right. Four cartoons.
But then you go on, you add that cartoon. Okay, is that canon? Is it not? Does it fit? It starts to mess with things. I don't need
Although
more.
Although, having this being an alternate world, and they're just going to move them to the main MCU or after the crossover movie, in a way that actually gives them more room to work.
That's true. I just don't want them to cook too much, because then when you get too much, I don't want that much content in my face as I get older. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? You were saying earlier, you just don't want to watch another cartoon. I really don't, but I am in my 40s. Maybe younger kids want to see more Fantastic Four.
Definitely fatigue is a real thing, and my manifestation of that is I'm drawing a hard line to not see Avengers Doomsday, but could enjoy an animated spinoff. This invites an animated spinoff in the way that no other MCU I've seen does. Does that distinction make sense?
Yes, and I'm also interested to go back to work to see how many children I work with actually like the Fantastic Four more than Superman, or vice versa, or like what was more popular among children. Because that's another piece of this. Kids are, when we were growing up, we didn't have these films. We had the 1994 Fantastic Four that we had to bootleg, which I don't know how we would have bootlegged it back then, but I knew it existed. You knew it existed too, right?
I was aware of it.
Isn't that weird? We knew it was there. We just never got a chance to watch it.
Well, that said, I'm not sure when I became aware of it. I'm not sure if I knew of it.
But all we had were the Fantastic Four cartoons to have an outlet for that.
Which, in hindsight, are pretty bad. I didn't know they were bad as much in the 90s. And certainly they were better. The 94 Fantastic Four cartoon was certainly better than the 94 Iron cartoon. It wasn't great.
But we knew they were not as good as the X-Men cartoon, Bob.
I definitely thought the X-Men and the Spider-Man were on a higher level.
Yeah.
I thought Fantastic Four was on a higher level to Hulk.
That's about the way I felt. The quality wasn't there.
Matt, so not to sound like a crazed right-winger, but Does this film seem a not-so-subtle attempt to prepare people for climate change lockdowns and blackouts?
It seemed to bother people how easily the world was willing to unite, except for Liberia, to follow through with the Fantastic Four's plans. I'm not sure a family of, like, smart white people living high up in a tower could really have that impact by giving speeches and saving the world. Like, I just don't see that in our world. You see how fast people turned on Superman in that film when they thought he was creating a harem. Superman gets human nature better than the Fantastic Four, but then again, it's a different world.
You see the public turn on the FF with Reed comes out with the issue about Galactus wanting Franklin, which I didn't bring this up, but that was also a weird choice of, like, why Reed told people that. It wasn't clear, was that just a narrative contrivance, or was this an expression of Reed is so autistic that he doesn't see that as a problem?
That.
Or is it they have a commitment to radical honesty and radical transparency? This isn't a full-on criticism, because I don't necessarily want to have gone into any of this, but it just raised these interesting questions.
Reed, I feel, was coded as being on the spectrum, and that's part of it, because there's a couple of other things he says throughout the film where he takes everything very literally.
The other thing about it, and I guess just to press on this a little more, one of the reasons superhero movies are bad at doing an allegory for climate change is superhero movies, the threat is like usually some sort of monster, some sort of villain force that it comes and you defeat it, right? And it's a one-off thing. So, oh, the world unites, but it unites for this one instant.
Yes.
Beyond that, right? And so it's, oh, okay, well, everybody has to do your green lockdown. Everybody has to have your climate change blackout, but we're going to move the Earth and we're going to trick Galactus and we're good. We're going to teleport Galactus to the another dimension and we're good. Whereas actual climate change or actually addressing global pandemics, actually addressing inequality requires sustained changes to the way we live. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be that negative for people, right? But it does require sustained changes that go against the interests of those most powerful people in the world. And so, not to be too pessimistic, but it's just not going to happen. On the one hand, it's funny to imagine a right-winger watching this. Imagine Alex Jones watching this movie and being, oh my God, Hollywood is propagandizing me about the green lockdowns. But it's also, I don't know, as somebody who is really cynical about the future prospects for humanity, it's also just a little depressing of, oh, here's this uplifting moment where everybody unites to solve this single crisis while we have so many unfolding catastrophes that we're never going to deal with.
And that's why a lot of people found it unbelievable.
One other thing, Matt, did you like how little Reed used his stretching powers until Galactus started playing with him and pulling on him like a rubber band?
I guess having read enough comics, you realize that Reed is not about his stretching powers, but his brains and intelligence. That's his main power.
At least since the Mark Waid run.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you see this in the Walt Simonson run, too. He just does not use the stretching powers very much. And if he does, it's like play with the kids.
That is the number one complaint online right now, is that he didn't use his stretching powers as much as compared to the 2005 film. But if you go back and watch that film, it looks so stupid when he did it. And it looks kind of stupid in the comics when he does certain things. It's just hard to make that look anywhere near realistic. And
when at the time when Kirby and Lee were first doing the series, they more or less treated the FF as equally powered. Over time, it's become obvious that he's by far physically the weakest of the four.
But he is technically the smartest, and that's just what I like. I didn't care how far he was able to stretch throughout the film. I thought the imagery of him using his stretch powers looked good because he didn't use it as much. Less is better. And you mainly just saw him climbing or using his legs to move, and they were longer. It wasn't the stretching his whole neck all the way around the size of a skyscraper or anything. It wasn't anything weird. It reminds me of when he turns into a dinosaur in that one comic. We're not going to see that on film, guys. Get over it. It's not happening.
Well, Matt, did Sue's death and resurrection to you, did that feel pretty similar to how they handled Ben's death in the Mark Waid, Mike run, especially Reed trying to jumpstart Ben's heart in Latveria in authoritative action?
That whole death scene, Bob, I have a problem with these death scenes where they do this because of Deadpool 2. And I don't think you watched Deadpool 2.
Nope, never will.
They ruined any high-stakes death like this in that film, where they have to slowly, is she dead, is she not, is he dead? It ruined that for me.
Was it with Cable?
It's this long, drawn-out scene. It's funny the first time you watch it, but then the second time, you're okay, I get it, it's funny, but you have to see it. And if you've seen the film I'm talking about.
Brutal. Unless we have other thoughts about the future of the MCU franchise, I just wanted to end with the two best Letterboxd reviews I found of this movie.
All right, Bob, go for it.
All right, one was, I wish mine was as big as Galactus.
Wow.
And then one was, she literally mothered her way to saving the world.
That's what it's all about.
Those are two really funny Letterboxd reviews. I really enjoyed those.
One thing we did not talk about, Bob, post-credit scene, Doctor Doom. I know you're not,
what is there to say,
you're not looking forward to it. No, but I have a theory, Bob. I have a theory on how they're going to do this. And people agree this may be what it is. Dr. Doom knows that Franklin has these amazing powers. He goes and he visits Franklin. He shows Franklin his face. Franklin's reaching out to fix Doom's face, okay? We don't get to see what he's doing to his face. I think he's making him look like Robert Downey Jr. So that in the future movies, when Doom is unmasked, it looks like Tony Stark, and somehow that is pivotal to the plot. I don't know what the plot's going to be. I don't know why him revealing himself to be someone that they believe may be on their side, is it good or bad, or I don't know. But that's going to be part of it. And I think that may be why they cast Robert Downey Jr. I just don't think, I like Robert Downey Jr. I just don't think this is not a great idea.
I agree with you that Downey Jr. is a terrible idea. This also just goes back to, even though I enjoyed this movie, I don't know, man. I don't want Fantastic Four movies in the same way that I don't want X-Men movies.
Bob, don't want them X-Men movies, but man, they're coming.
I keep hoping that the bubble will burst.
Nah, Fantastic Four and Superman just inflated that bubble.
This does, in a weird way, feel like a one-off movie, we were saying earlier, because it just leads right into the Avengers movie, and the prospect for sequels is a little unclear. And if they do them, there's a good chance, like you say, they might be sequels set on the MCU Earth. And in that way, it's, oh, well, then I can just treat this as its own thing and never think about anything else with it ever again.
That is one of the reasons why I think this movie was so successful, because I don't have to have all the knowledge of the MCU.
Well, in a conversation I was having with Noah about this, I still think the idea that the FF have to be set in the 60s is wrong and limiting. But I do agree, in the comics, I think it works fine to have the FF, the Avengers, and the X-Men all in the same world. But in the movies, I don't think it makes sense. And I think you do need separate Earths for the Avengers, for the X-Men, and for the FF. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I'm really hoping they make the X-Men have a separate. I do not want them mixed up with New Avengers and whatever else.
There's such radical differences to the things. And also just with the limited amount of time that the movies give you to explain stuff. I would much, much prefer they be separate Earths.
All right, so one other question, since you mentioned X-Men, Bob. How would you feel if they had an X-Men 97 set specifically in the 90s for the entirety of its run? For the film. Here they have the 60s aesthetic. What if they just went with the 90s aesthetic for the X-Men?
That sounds terrible to me, but again,
you don't want X-Men movies to begin with.
So I'm not the right audience to pitch it to.
That could be good, though, Bob. I would appreciate that as a 90s child.
I don't want this movie to be made. But if you were asking me if the option of not doing an X-Men movie wasn't on the table and you were asking me how to do it, I would say, yeah, just New Earth and maybe not do the plot of the Morrison run, but try to get some of the feel about mutants as an emerging culture from the Morrison run, if that makes sense.
I think they should just shoot straight to Krakoa.
I don't, because I think that would be good for a show or a cartoon, but not necessarily good for a film, if that distinction makes sense.
I would love an entire season of X-Men 97 set on Krakoa.
Yeah, although I feel like the way they used Genosha was probably as much Krakoa.
True.
Well, even though the superhero deluge may be terrible, we did get X-Men 97, which was great. We did get this, which was pretty solid. So I can't be too bitter and salty about it, can I?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on Uncanny Treks. Follow us for our Star Trek Strange New Worlds coverage. We might start covering the new Alien show. We might get back on covering comic books. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening.